If you don't study your life, you can't prepare for your future. Anything that you do right repeatedly will eventually work. Even when I got flow, I keep going until I create momentum. And momentum keeps it going without effort. You can have power, speed, momentum, passion, and still be headed in the wrong direction and score for the other team. Every master used to be a disaster.
When I was younger, I just wanted to make money. I wanted to be rich. And now that I am at this epitome of success, I am at the top and realize
sometimes you can get up to the top and find out ain't nothing up there. It was a journey that was the excitement. You missed all of this to get up there and find out nobody's up there, nothing's up there.
Yeah. When you don't have it, you think that that's all that you want. And then when you do have it, is it that you're never happy or is it that you're never grateful?
My coach said to me, either you're going to play basketball or you're going to preach. My decision is basketball. That was 4:30. 8:30 that night, God shifted what I was depending on to shift.
Your mindset.
Nobody gets here for free. I'd rather betray my destiny than God. If the world ends and God is not real, then we all die and nothing happens. But it is.
What's going on, guys? My name is Jessica Lane McDonald, and I want to welcome you guys to another episode of Hardly Initiated. Listen, guys, I am so excited about our conversation today because we live in a world where so many people are busy, but not necessarily productive. A lot of people are working, but not necessarily walking in alignment with who God has called them to be. So today we are talking all things purpose, and I am so excited for our guest for today because he truly is somebody that has so much wisdom. Listen, before we even started this interview, he just imparted so much wisdom into my life right now in this moment. So I'm super grateful. He is the senior pastor of Lighthouse Church and Ministries. Pastor Keon Henderson, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm good.
Doing good. I love your studio. This is amazing.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So first off, okay, I really do feel like your work introduces you. Period, point blank. Like, I feel like some people really need an introduction, but I feel like your work introduces itself. But if there is anybody that is really like unfamiliar with you, who would you say you are? If you strip away pastor, if you strip away father, if you strip away husband, author, who is Keon Henderson at his core?
Yeah, I'm just a guy who, like, I love to see other people win. So yeah. I'm like a guy for the underdog. Like, I pull for the person who really doesn't know. I mean, I'm Shawnee's husband. I'm Caitlin's daddy. Yeah. I'm Gwen's son. You know, I'm so excited. Like, even walking in here, I'm coming up to the studio and I get a text message from my sister. My mom, over the last couple of weeks, has been dealing with something, and we didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. And my sister called me and she was like, everything is all right. So I'm walking up to your studio, praising God and all happy and excited. Yeah, because at the end of the day, you know, what I write, where I live, what I wear, what I do, all that stuff can go away.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, my relationships. So, you know, I'm a friend. I'm a loyalist.
Yeah.
People always say to a fault, I don't know what the fault is. I just like it. I like being loyal. I love it in return.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to try to be good at golf. I'm trying my best. I'm doing my best. Sometimes, that we say, sometimes chicken, sometimes feather. Sometimes I'm good, sometimes I'm not. Guess that's the process, but ain't a whole lot.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because a lot of people know you from your ministry work. What called you into ministry?
Ooh, twofold. So my biological father was a pastor, and my brother is a pastor. So, and I had a brother that passed away.
But it's in the blood. Like,
it's in the blood. Uh-huh. But I was like, y'all can do it. I don't want it. I will say emphatically on this platform right now, I never wanted to be a pastor.
Wow.
After I seen what it did to my dad, seen what it did to my brother. My brother just recently, a couple years, had a double aneurysm. Like, this is hard work. My father had a stroke. I was like, I don't want to do it. But at 14 years old, I just remember what I thought was an audible call to God, from God, to preach. And I went up to my father and I was like, man, I think I want to talk to you about something. This is right hand to God. I never told him what I wanted to talk to him about. I said, Dad, I need to talk to you about something. He said, the Lord called you to preach.
Wow.
It just blew my mind.
Wow.
Because there was no way
that he would have known.
He couldn't know. I hadn't told my mom. I hadn't told no one, but I just felt this burden. So I came up to him and he told me that. And for me, that felt like the confirmation that I needed. You got parents, you know how that feels. So he said that. He said, all right, let's talk about it. We talked about it. I thought I was going to have months to prepare. I told him on the fourth Sunday of July, 1995, the next Sunday, which I believe was July 27, I was up preaching my first seven days. I had 7 days to write my first sermon. Had never written one before. Wrote the sermon, preached it, preached again 2 weeks later. And I've been preaching every Sunday since 1995. Wow. Since 1995. I had a church with my brother in a laundromat. We started a church in a laundromat in a apartment complex because my father was also an entrepreneur. So he bought this apartment complex in the hood. It was called Oak Knoll Hood. Mm-hmm. He purchased it from the city for a dollar. That's how abandoned it was. Took the 256 units, renovated it, redid it, and we started a church in the laundromat. I had 17 members when I was 16, 17 years old in the laundromat. I've been doing it my whole life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that how God speaks to you through confirmation? I mean, I know so many people talk about so many ways in which God speaks to them, but when you said that, I kind of resonated with it because sometimes I have instances in my life where I want to do something or I have a question about something and the next minute is right there in front of my face before I even something as simple as, I remember when I first took over this platform, I was trying to decide if I should get a male co-host or not. And I opened up my devotion for that day. And it said, you may desire to walk through this life with a male, but I am sufficient. And I, like, it's literally in this Bible because my Bible is a devotion Bible, but yeah, I always get confirmations, but I sometimes wonder about how God speaks to other people because sometimes it comes through dreams and, you know, things I've heard. I don't particularly get through dreams, but is that how God speaks to you?
Different ways is like, or just imagine your husband. There are some things that you want. He knows right away.
Yeah.
So that may come home. It may be right there. Yeah. There are other things that you have to communicate with him.
Yeah.
For him to know. There are some things that he will say and you're like, how you know? How you know I was thinking about that? So me, I believe my relationship with God is intimate. So because of the intimacy we have, it's a myriad of ways. Sometimes it's the magical aha stuff. Sometimes it's me reading the word of God and it's a revelation or a rhema word. Sometimes it's through somebody I trust, right? His voice comes through someone else. So that one felt audible.
Yeah.
It doesn't always feel audible. Sometimes it feels like confirmation or through a message. I'm always listening. So it's not just one way.
Yeah.
And I like to take away the spooky mysticism of having a relationship with God. That's my dude. Like I talk to him all day.
Yeah.
He talks to me all day. Yeah. I honor, love, and respect him, have great reverence for him. And he speaks to me in ways that my ear is attentive to.
Yeah.
Right. So sometimes it's the dream. Sometimes it's through the message. He could speak to me through you.
Yeah.
Right. So,
That's beautiful.
A lot of ways.
That's beautiful. So you recently did a sermon entitled I'm Done Starting Over.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And I watched that sermon and I loved it so much. And it particularly made me think because there are so many people in this world where they start, stop. They start a business, stop it. There are failed relationships, whether it even be something that a person promises themselves, like even in the beginning of the new year, when people say, oh, I'm going to do these New Year's resolutions, they go a couple days and then they stop. How is it that somebody can make the shift to really stopping that cycle so that they can come into completion of their destiny?
Yeah, I think that people spend so much time studying other people. They spend no time studying themselves.
Mm.
It's amazing how people can tell you who's dating who and who with who. And like I always say, all of my business ain't none of yours. Right. So like people don't study their own patterns. I know. Let's talk physically. I know that every April and October, my allergies are going to flare up. So I don't have to wait till April 1st. To start getting ready. I start the Allegra in March. I start the Allegra in August.
Yeah.
I know it's coming. Listen, let me tell you something. If I don't start it ahead of time and I come in this studio, I'm going to be looking like Will Smith from Hitch. Oh, face going to be swole up. I know it's coming. So I know my physical patterns. A woman who has a menstrual cycle, she knows her physical patterns. So that means that if she's headed out of town 2 or 3 days before she prepares.
She'll prepare.
That's right. So you got to know your cycles. You got to know when you get fatigued. You got to know what time of the year you start giving up. You got to pay attention. You got to know how long your money stretch. When do you start borrowing from the savings account and going back to the checking account? If you don't study your life, you can't prepare for your future. So I say that you have to study yourself so that way you know predictably where you are. And then that's where you put stop gaps in place to make sure that you don't show up to the future empty. Yeah. So when I wrote that sermon, I was studying culture and I'm like, oh my God, this is the smartest generation the world has ever seen.
Mm-hmm. AI, everything is at our fingertips.
Oh my God, these kids, these young, like brilliant, but the work ethic associated with consistency is absent. I believe anything that you do right repeatedly will eventually work. I don't care what it is. If you do it right repeatedly, it's going to work. If you don't, it's like old man told me one time. He said, life is like a well. There is an artesian well, and then there's a surface well. He said, the artesian well is the one where you have the pump, you know, your old school pump, and that water is coming up from the ground, but you got to keep going. And if you stop when you see water coming out, because you see a little bit of evidence, he says the water's going to fall all the way back down. Mm-hmm. And you got to start the process over. So consistency says, even when I got flow, I keep going until I create momentum. Mm-hmm. And momentum keeps it going without effort. Mm-hmm. That's why you got to be consistent.
That's so deep.
Yeah.
Mm. That's so deep. Do you think that there's ever a time where, let's say somebody is putting in the work, you think it's ever a time where somebody can be winning but going in the wrong direction?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You ever seen the little kid on Instagram who's got the basketball and he's dribbling through the legs and he's running all the way down and he lays the ball up in the wrong basket? You ever seen the kid run 100 yards in the wrong direction, scores a touchdown for the other team? You can have power, speed, momentum, passion, and still be headed in the wrong direction and score for the other team. So absolutely, absolutely. That is not the indicator. The power, the passion, that's a part of the process, but it is not the indicator that that you're heading in the right direction. I think the indicator that you're heading in the direction that you're supposed to is that it is confirmed and verified by those whom are affected by it, those who you love and those who you serve. So, you know, my wife should know I'm going in the right direction. My children should feel that direction. My ministry should feel that. My businesses should feel that direction. And cohesion is the result of that. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion, right? Yeah. So where there is confusion, it means that he didn't write the story.
Yeah.
Right, because he's not the author of it. So I think that there is alignment when you're headed in the right direction and other things feed off of each other. The electricity in this house, the power that's on in this house, how do I know that it's on? The lights prove it. The background, the LED screen proves it. If there was something wrong with the electricity, the power would still be here, but there would be glitches, you know, a circuit would trip. And that means something has to be addressed. The power is there, but it's not harnessed. Mm-hmm. So agreement and uniformity and alignment is the representation that power and that passion are headed in the right direction and not opposed to each other.
What about the people that's just starting out, though? Because this isn't for everybody, okay? And I completely understood everything you just said, but you know how some people, when they're just starting out something, they tell the people that's around them, and the people that's around them may not understand.
Yeah.
So it can kind of catapult, it can kind of really block their destiny for them becoming something because, you know, I don't want to be cliche, but when people talk about God didn't give them your vision, so you got to keep going regardless. And I say that specifically because I remember particularly for me, I graduated from Spelman, but...
Go ahead, girl. Your husband told me. Your husband told me you started off right. All right, Spelman.
I graduated from Spelman, but my parents didn't see my vision.
Wow.
At all. At all. I trained for the Olympics when I was younger in boxing. And my dad, I remember to this, you did not graduate from Spelman to box. Da-da-da-da-da. Like this whole thing. But what I realized now, fast forward where I am, God made me go through that season, not because I was supposed to be an Olympian in boxing, but he made me go through that season for the discipline that it was going to impart in me. But I was somewhat a rebel at that time because I did it anyway, outside of what my parents wanted me to do. I was going to, like, my training camps were always up north. So I'm going, this ain't good, but I was lying to my parents because I'm like, yeah, my coach is da-da-da. When I tell you, it was so rugged. And that's part of the reason why I stopped over time, because you go into a space like that and you're a pretty girl. Men are trying you left and right. You know what I'm saying? And I was confused at that time. Like, is this for me? Because these people are predators. And most women, either their fathers are their trainers or they look super butch. You know what I'm saying? So it works out for them.
Okay.
But yeah, but it's like, I do feel like that was a part of my story, but I had no alignment in it at all in the beginning. Yeah.
So I would say to and I think I understand the question, is like, what do you say to somebody who's beginning? Like,
yes.
Somebody beginning. Who don't have all of the stuff.
Yeah.
I would say to the beginner, every master used to be a disaster. Like, do not read the final chapter of somebody's life and assume that that's how it always been. There are some chapters in that book that'll show you struggle if you're willing to open the pages. Mm-hmm. So don't be like, Oprah used to be poor.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan got cut from his team.
Yeah.
Every master used to be a disaster. You can't read somebody's chapter 39 and forget that they made it through chapter 1, 2, and 3. So don't be, don't have any jealousy, have no trepidation about where somebody is, because everybody has to start somewhere. You know, like, thinking about what you said about boxing and all of the stuff that you had to do. Listen, first of all, the fact that you're a boxer is absolutely hilarious. But let me tell you something. The discipline that you got from that is a transferable skill set that's applicable to what you're doing right now. Now, you have young children. I met them coming in. Some of the cutest little boys I've ever seen in my life. Right? You just haven't lived long enough for them to show you that they're not going to want to be what you want them to be yet either. So sometimes when you're somebody's child, you can understand the opposition, but you won't feel it until your children decide they want to go in a different way than you see them going. Because one day, after you and your husband haven't done everything to make sure that their life is devoid and perfect, okay, and they come and tell you, Dad, you know what? I want to wash cars for a living. You're going to be like, ain't no way. Me and your daddy did all of this for you to want. That's the manhood, womanhood, developmental part where I always say manhood and womanhood actually starts the moment you have the courage to tell your parents, I want to do something else. That's when it starts. That's when it starts. When I went to Houston, this is crazy. I went to Houston, Texas, Fort Wayne, Indiana before I went there. And God gave me a vision to start a church. I was 21 years old.
Wow.
So I was a senior pastor, a senior in college on a full ride basketball scholarship at the same time. So I leave. The Lord told me to come to Houston. I go to Houston.
Wait, so you left college to do it?
I played basketball. So I wrote a book called The Shift. Wrote this book called The Shift. And so the premise of the book is I tore my left ACL when I was in college. My coach said to me, he said, you know what? He said, man, you've improved. You've improved with basketball. Because I started out talking about every master used to be a disaster. I was on the freshman B team when I was 14. Not A. I was on the freshman team.
But the B team.
But the B team.
Yeah.
Ended up starting in high school. Junior year, we went 19-2. senior year, I believe 20-4, full-time, full-ride D1 scholarship from a B team. So that's why I know every master can be every disaster, and it can translate. So I get to college. I just have a Bible study with five people who are over the age of 72. I did a Bible study with them.
Yeah.
And they asked me to be their pastor.
What?
And I said, okay, I'll try it. Now, I'm 21, they 72.
Wait, were you doing community service? Because how did that happen?
Well, what happened is I preached at a church. A lady named Saloni Mayhill, I never will forget her. I never will forget. I can see her right now. Just a dark-complected, beautiful woman, a spirit. She was in her 80s. I remember we did it at her home. She asked me to come to her home and do a Bible study. She sat in a Lazy Boy rocking chair.
Wow.
Right. And she asked me to teach four of her friends. So I came over there. I don't even remember what I taught. Yeah. All I remember is they all fell asleep while I was doing it. So I left. I called my dad. I was like, man, the Lord called me to preach and I'm over here talking to these people. He went to sleep. They went to sleep on me. My daddy said, he said, how old was them people you said? I said, 72. He said, they all on medication. That's the side effects of medication. When you get older, you'll find out. He said, you did a good job. They all sleep because of the pills they take it. Promise to God. So she said, would you come back? I said, yeah, I would. Yeah. When I came back, she had more family members.
Wow.
Miss Saloni Mayhill, I never will forget her. She had the Williams family come. I still, one of my spiritual sons, Jakar, was the grandson of these Charlie and Miss Williams. And now he's a senior pastor married with a child. I'm saying that.
The seeds.
Yeah. And so I said, I was quitting. Because my coach said to me, he was like, either you're going to play basketball or you're going to preach. Because he used to have to let me leave basketball practice to go teach Sunday school. And he was like, it's messing up the camaraderie in the locker room because everybody see you only got to do half a practice. And you starting, they got to do the whole practice. I was like, all right. So he said, what's your choice? I said, here's my choice. I was baptized when I was 6 years old.
Yeah.
My mama brought me to Christ. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. This is very easy. You asking me to choose between basketball and
God
preaching?
And my fulfillment?
Yeah, I'm picking basketball because basketball pay.
Wait.
This is the God's honest truth.
Yo,
I
that
said,
was not the answer I thought.
My mama worked at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I'm from Gary, Indiana.
That's
she making $6 an hour. You talking about people at that time making $4, $5, $6 million a year? Preaching? Jessica, I picked basketball so fast, I was out of there. I said somebody can have a church. I was thinking about who can take over. I had named a successor. I'm out. I'm finna go make this cash. They can talk about me later when I'm going for the paper. I already told my mama I'm buying her a house. Obviously, I ain't finna be able to buy her one over here because they paying me $50 a week. I'm out.
And they going to sleep.
And they going
on
to sleep.
Medication.
And I ain't got no church. They in the rocking chair. What is we doing? So I'm out. Yeah. I said that at 4:30. I told my coach, my decision is basketball. That was 4:30. 8:30 that night in a basketball game against Middle Tennessee, trying to block the shot of a player whose last name was Humphreys.
God took it from you.
Tore my left ACL and meniscus 4 hours after I made my decision to tell God what I'm going to do. So I called the book The Shift because the ACL happens when your knee shifts. So here's the moral of the story is God shifted what I was depending on to shift
your mindset and the assignment, the long-term game.
That's how I ended up here. That one day is how I ended up sitting up in front of you right now with Pastor in front of my name. Because without that, my name would have been Keon Henderson, the basketball player, Keon Henderson, CEO, Keon Henderson. Like I wanted to be the CEO of Pepsi. Like I wasn't shooting for no, I wasn't trying to work for nobody like that unless they was paying me 60, 70, 80 million. Like I want the fringe benefits. I wanted the stock options. I want, that's who I've been. I went to college and got my degree in business. I did not get my degree in preaching until after I quit basketball. this is what I was, this is what I've always, what I felt like I was always supposed to do. So every master used to be a disaster. You just got to go through it. You got to find your way through it. You got to scratch. You got to claw. You got to bump your head, tear your knee up, whatever you got to do to eventually get there. Nobody gets here for free. Nobody gets here unscathed. Nobody gets to the top of anything without having to go through every level. But this is what I would say to people who are at the bottom trying to look to get to the top.
Yeah.
I learned this in New York City. I'm at a hotel. I look out of my hotel. I look at the top of a building. I've heard Bishop Jake say this before. I verified it with my own experience. I look out of the building. I look at the top of a building. And all I see is dirt, air conditioning units, wires. And here's the revelation. Sometimes you can get up to the top and find out ain't nothing up there. Ain't nothing up there. It was the journey.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
It was the journey that was the excitement. You missed all of this to get up there and find out nobody's up there. Nothing's up there.
No.
Ain't no happiness up here. Ain't no.
Listen, when I tell you, oh my God, it's so crazy you said it, because when I was explaining to somebody as to why I stepped into this role on this podcast, I have acquired, and I thank God, oh my God, I thank God. And the boxing story that I told you, it was for me to get the discipline so that I could apply it to the market. So I am, who I am is the investing, okay?
Yes.
That is my, that's like when I say, that's my thing. Like yeah. I can foresee the market like no other. Like it's just, like one of my students, it's so crazy because it's like the ability to print money. It's like you become a human ATM. So you could just look at the market and decide based off of course, past data and understanding what's happening in the market. There's so much like analysis that goes into it, but you can foresee where the money, where the market is going. So therefore, at that time, whenever you want, if the opportunity, of course, presents itself, you can execute a position and make money. And so when I was younger, I just wanted to make money. I wanted to be rich. I wanted to be wealthy. And now that I am at this epitome of success, I am at the top and realize, just like in Ecclesiastes, nothing.
It's all vanity.
Under the sun. It is.
It's all vanity.
And it's like, I felt like God was saying, I have given you, I have blessed you with everything. Everything that you have ever asked for in life, I have given you. I have given you all the money you don't want for anything. What are you going to do for me?
Yeah. I love that. I love that because I, at the end of the day, that is the optimum response to any success. What are you going to do for him? Right? What are you going to do for his people? What are you going to do? So you get the premise that you actually get blessed to be a blessing and not get blessed to be blessed.
Yeah.
Like, okay, how many houses can you have until you're happy?
Right.
How many square feet do you need to smile? Because, you know, there are people arguing in mansions right now.
Yeah.
There are people committing suicide on the 50th floor of a penthouse suite in New York. So you realize that that can't be the end all be all.
Yeah.
That can't be it. It's got to be something else. It's like when I walked into your studio, I saw this thing my wife has in her closet. I see that you have your calendar, so you'll know all the things you have to do in the digital format.
Yeah.
To me, it made me smile because I saw your priorities.
Yeah.
I saw, you know, he's got to be here at 3 and we've got to do this at 2. Those are the things you're going to miss when one day you look up and your sons are our age.
Yeah.
And you will miss picking them up and buying the shoes that squeak and getting the car seat out of the back seat. And I'm at the age right now, my daughter's 13. She called me when she wants something.
Yeah.
I miss my baby that just called me and would write on the sheet of paper, you're the best dad in the world. Now she's 13. Yeah. Some little boy like her. Yeah. Where all that happened? What's all this?
Like, so, what is going on?
What's going on? Who are you?
When you did know? You grow up?
When did this happen?
Yeah.
That's life is in those moments. So the stuff is the way we keep score.
Yeah.
That means you did good.
Yeah.
That ain't it.
Yeah.
If I take a blanket from Target or Walmart or Marshall's and I put it on me, or if I get the same blanket from Hermes, I ain't gonna be no warmer. It's just preference.
Yeah.
An ability.
That's a fact. And it's so crazy because that's the thing, man. It's like when you don't have it, you think that that's all that you want. You know what I'm saying? And then when you do have it, it's like, so then you get to this question where it's like, is it that you're never happy or is it that you're never grateful? Hmm. And then how do you get to the place where I've had this conversation with myself many times and with God where I'm like, God, I'm so grateful, but I also don't want to be complacent.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So why you keep striving when everything that he's giving you is already enough?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I would say for the pursuit of purpose.
Yeah.
Let purpose pay you. So I'm not chasing what? No, you can't chase that. I'm chasing purpose. If purpose happens to have a check associated with it,
okay.
God bless.
Yeah.
But when I get up and preach on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
I'm looking for somebody to say to me, I was going to commit suicide, but I heard what you said and I didn't. Or somebody say, you preached a sermon called I'm Done Starting Over. That's my payment. Because I said something that entered your soul that reminded you about a premise that you were going after.
Yeah.
That's my payment.
Yeah.
That's my compensation. If anything happens outside of that, I'm grateful. But I touched your life.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Yeah.
And that's what the people who are just starting out need to be focused on is impact, not income.
Yeah.
If you impact enough people, income is going to come.
Yeah.
You know, it's not what the income, it's the impact.
Yeah. So as you were talking a little bit earlier, when you were mentioning how, well, let me say this, when you were mentioning your story on how you came into ministry,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking about, I read Pastor Torrey Roberts' book, Knowing.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so he was on a platform and on his book tour. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the knowingness and the deeper knowing within. What would you say to somebody for them to identify with their knowingness? Because there are so many people that are lost out here.
Mm-hmm.
Like God gave you the ability to know what was for your future and what you needed to do to fulfill his kingdom of God and for you to walk into your purpose. You knew because you had an inner voice from him. But some people don't really receive that or know or some people can't even identify with that. What would you tell somebody who hasn't really tapped into that side of them? Because what I want this platform to be, what I realize is that there are a lot of people that already, you know, they're already Christians out here. Mm-hmm. They're not the ones that really need this information. It's the people who are coming to their salvation. Like, what can you tell the people that are in the middle of trying to find out who they are and how do I identify with my purpose? Like, what is that?
Yeah. And you mentioned Torrey, great friend of mine.
Yeah.
If you know his whole story, which I'm sure you do because he was on a platform, that knowing came from a lot of not knowing. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want people who think we know to know that we don't always know.
Okay, Tom.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like, I sound like Busta Rhymes up here, right? So, like,
okay.
Like, what I know in part. Like, I don't even know all of what I think I know.
Mm-hmm.
The book that I preach from, I know it, but it changes. So, do I really know it? Like, how can I preach John chapter 2 10 different ways?
Mm-hmm.
Because real knowing mm-hmm. is the reflection of how much you get to know yourself. The more I get to know me, the more I get to see things differently on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And for the person who does not have any of that as a premise, mm-hmm. if you believe in the message that you and I are talking about, you can't know God outside of yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to know him. It is in him that we move and have our being. He's our creator. So how can the tree know itself if it's not acquainted with the roots?
Yeah.
So I gotta know where I start from.
Hold on. You got to say that one more time.
You know what I'm saying?
How can a tree know itself without identifying with the roots?
Yeah. Like if the tree, if the limb, if the leaf ever tried to disassociate itself from the roof, it sentenced itself to death. You can't know who you are or become who you are without representing the unseen part of this structure. It gets no glory. It gets no sunlight. It gets no visualization. And yet everything depends on it. That's how God is. You can't see him. You can't feel him. But he's so necessary. And knowing him gets me better acquainted with myself. That's what revelation is. That's what cognition is. That's what consciousness is. You know, we use all of these things because, you know, people are the universe and consciousness and all this kind of stuff. All that. Let's just call it what it is. We can summarize it. It's God. He is the supreme being. So if I get to know him, I get to know myself. I think somewhere I read along the lines, and I could be getting this wrong, but I think a banana, once its seed is planted, it takes like 9 months. An apple, once it's planted, it takes, I think, 5 to 7 years, but it'll give you 10,000 apples. An avocado seed, once it's planted, it takes 20 years, but it'll give you avocados for the next 2 decades.
Wow, I have never known that.
It takes time.
Yeah.
The people look at you or your husband or anybody else who's been on this platform like, oh, I want to be like Jessica. I want to be. Yeah, well, you're looking at the fruition of getting hit in the face.
Yeah.
Like, boxing is crazy. Can we just pause and talk about the fact that you let people punch you? I don't want to be hit.
But I don't let people punch me, though. It's all art.
But you
did get hit sometimes. But the thing is that you have so much, like, what is the word I'm looking for? It's on the tip of my tongue. What's the word when it's like when you feel and you're so high in your feelings that you don't, what is it called? It's not stamina. Adrenaline. You have so much adrenaline that you don't even feel it.
But listen, look at what you just did.
What?
Look at what you just did. Yeah, I hope everybody watched. Where my camera at? Which one? Is it this one right here?
Yeah.
I hope all of y'all just seen and Jessica fell for my trick.
What?
How passionate she got when I brought up something that she could connect with. Asking me the question, she was like this. I said, look, she right back. Look at her. But when she started talking about boxing, the hands got to move it. See, that's, you just got to find your thing. Because you come alive when you find your thing. Now, look at how you start explaining to me. No, adrenaline is there. Like, it ain't like that you explain it to me because I don't know that I could have made a living being in the ring. I have seen people get knocked out. I have seen people. I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah.
I still watch that stuff online right now. I be laughing. People be getting knocked out all the time.
Yeah.
There is nothing about that to me that says, I'm gonna lie to my parents and go up north to do it. I can't fathom it. But yeah. You did.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about preaching. That's how I feel about business. That's how I feel about counseling. That's how I feel about impacting people's lives. You come alive when you find your thing. You're willing to do it by yourself. If your parents sent you to Spelman, that sounds like the Huxtables to me, by the way. That sounds like the Cosby Show.
You know, Michael, when you were...
tell a story about Spelman.
Spelman. Tell me the story.
About Spelman. How you got into Spelman? The financial aid and all that.
Oh, yeah. People actually, when I was younger, people did say I have the Cosby Show family.
Wow.
But only like literally almost all of my friends from high school used to say that, but not because we were perfect. I think it was strictly because of the intentionality that my parents placed in our family dynamic and our family culture. Meaning when I got home from school, every single time we ate dinner, well, we didn't even have phones back then, but we did not have a TV on. And we had to say one thing that we were grateful for the day. What is one thing we learned for the day?
Wow.
And what was something we wanted to share about our day? And we had to do it every day. So we...
Wow.
They created a culture where I can talk to my parents about anything. And I know that's so crazy to say I lied to my parents going up north, but still be able to talk to them about anything. They knew I wanted to box, but I also know one thing about them is that they don't play about me. So any sense of danger, the protector of my father will come out. And I knew that if I wanted to pursue this dream, is no way I could be honest about the conditions that I was in up there. When I was in D.C., I was actually for 3 weeks. It wasn't long, but I was living in my car for 3 weeks. And the reason was because I had my whole living situation laid out when I went up there and everything, and then it fell through. Wow. And I didn't know what to do. And I found this bougie neighborhood in Bowie where I would feel safe sleeping in my car. And I just used to drive.
That's so smart.
It was like it was like houses being built. But you know how sometimes you could just see the land, but it's in between two houses. I would just drive there, lay my CV, and just sleep for the night.
And not even having to.
Yeah.
Just...
Wow. Not having to because of my parents, like they will always open your home for me. But because I'm that burning desire, I had unfinished business. I wanted that dream so bad. So I won 3 Golden Glove championships and 1 Ringside World Championship as an amateur.
Have you ever written a book?
What, me?
Yeah. No. Should write a book called Unfinished Business.
Wow. Wow. Come on. Okay.
Yeah, Trey, get that right now. Hey, and I know your lawyers back there. I know they can get that trademark before the show is over. So okay. You need to get
that's
that.
That's a fact.
Yeah, unfinished business. That's a heck of a story. It's a heck of a story. And then listen to what you said. You had unfinished business, but this is what I heard. The dream was in the direct opposite direction of the comfort. Like, here's a place you could have gone.
Yeah.
Home, comfort.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's open.
Yeah.
But that ain't where it is. Every master used to be a disaster. Look at 3 weeks, 3 years. It doesn't matter. Look at this point in time where everything in your life looked the opposite of what your privilege was.
Yeah.
We all got to go there. Yeah. That's like the whole purpose of this platform. Yeah. That's like the hope that you dealing.
Yeah.
Is for the people who got unfinished business.
Yeah.
Sleeping in cars, less than standards, less than what you could accomplish. Like, you didn't have to be there.
Yeah.
More call of your pops. Everything good.
Yeah.
This is, you know, that's what I feel that you're pulling out of me, even sitting here talking to you, and that people come to these platforms because they're looking for inspiration from somebody who has what they desire, okay? But that's a part of it. But show me, tell me, explain to me what the road to that looks like. And I think that was the question that you asked me earlier, like, how do we get them there? You're doing it.
Yeah.
No, you just did it. You strike me as a person who does a lot of the right things but doesn't recognize it when you're doing it. You strike me as a person who says wise things, does wise things, and maybe your husband will say something to you like, I told you. Like, that's kind of...
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, on Hardly Initiated, we talk a lot about leveling up financially, mentally, and spiritually, but there is a reality that we have to face. Financial stress can affect us way more than we realize. It's not just about what's in your bank account. It's about the toll that money worries can take on your mental health and your relationship. In fact, at the start of 2026, roughly 88% of Americans reported feeling some form of financial stress. It brings on anxiety, it disrupts your sleep, and for many couples, is one of the leading sources of conflict. I've realized that struggling with money or feeling overwhelmed by it doesn't mean that you failed. Sometimes it's about the beliefs we grew up with or just trying to figure it all out on our own. It's something important to remember that therapy isn't for financial advice. It's for managing stress, shame, or anxiety that comes with those financial hurdles. It helps you unpack your relationship with money and build healthier coping strategies so you don't feel alone in the process. What I appreciate about BetterHelp is that they make the process of finding support simple. They have over 30,000 therapists who are fully licensed in the United States and follow a strict code of conduct. When you sign up, you'll fill out a short questionnaire, and their therapist match commitment means that they do the work to find the right
fit for your specific needs and goals. They've served over 6 million people globally, and if you ever feel like your match isn't quite right, you could switch to a different therapist at any time. When life feels overwhelming, therapy can help. Sign up now and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/heartlyinitiated. That's betterhelp.com/heartlyinitiated.
What I sense or hear when I hear you talking. Yeah. Like he believes in your genius.
Because he's like, all the time.
Yeah.
She got to wait for somebody else to tell her.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Let me shut up before I start something.
Nah, that was the question, though. It's the sense of, like, how do people stop comparing themselves? Ultimately, what you just said, how do people stop comparing themselves so that they live in their own purpose of who God created them to be?
That yeah, if you compare question. Yourself to somebody, you're going to be disappointed if yeah, you become sure.
them. Every single time.
Every time, because it ain't, yeah. like,
you
we don't say.
Be a fulfillment for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, everybody else, you say, well, be yourself because everybody else is taken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you can become somebody. But I'll tell you what, the people in the big cities like Houston and Atlanta and California, the ones that sell the knockoff versions of the original, they can never get full price. I don't care how much it looks like it.
Yeah.
They can never get full price because there's nothing that authenticates or backs up the work. So you could create the same product. You can get your leather from where they get their leather from.
Yeah.
You can use the same stitching, but you can't get the same price.
But was it anointed by God?
It is. Or the trademark.
Another trademark, right? Anointed by God.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fact. It's crazy because I was actually going to change the platform to initiated by God. Because I truly feel like when I talked to Tyshawn and Ryan and they told me the story behind Heartly Initiated, they said it was an initiation process for men. It don't resonate with me. And so far in this platform, I feel like I know God has called me to do it. But I'm like, everything that we have, even everybody, no matter who I have on this platform, no matter what I talk to them about, I know two things for certain. And one thing is a fact is that God woke us up this morning. God is our source and nothing that anybody has is by their own doing.
That's for sure.
It's all initiated by God.
That's for sure. That's a fact. That's a fact that can't be disputed. Or it could be. It could be disputed. But
if somebody that ain't a believer, yeah. but you know what I'm saying? For what this is, it's like, nah, God initiated all of this. God initiated the conversation we having right now. Because I honestly was trying to even figure out what I haven't even really looked at my notes of what I really was going to talk to you about. Because I feel like the Spirit led it towards purpose.
Wow. Well, I think that, you know, sometimes these things end up becoming, you know, give and take. So it's like it's hard for me to sit back and talk mm-hmm. and not read you the same way you are me. So I'm listening to you. Till you respond, and I'm listening to your husband in the background, and I'm feeling all of the, you know, the energy and everything that's in the room. And so my mind goes into a certain mode where I have to figure out, you know, am I here to be a guest on a podcast, or am I supposed to speak on what God is telling me?
What is God telling you right now?
Well, you know, I think that as a host of a show, and this is from my heart, I feel like I think you discount yourself. I think that you're a lot smarter, brighter, and effective in this space. But because you're new, you don't give yourself the credit for it. So I think that there is a little bit of insecurity, if you will, in around the space. Everybody got to start somewhere. You can't have the finishing credits and the movie's not over. Like we'll find out who made it, who did the background, who was the dress rehearsal person, who catered. We'll find all of that out at the end of the movie. Right now, we're just trying to find out the opening scene. And it's not, you start a thing the way you intend to finish it, right? So the confidence with doing this that I know you have, and you're still trying to figure out what do I do because I'm being criticized in this space and that I don't want to step on nobody's toes and all that kind of stuff. Man, if you let that deter you, you might as well quit tomorrow.
That Jessica, when she was talking about boxing,
needs to become that Jessica sitting in that chair.
Yeah, because that Jessica who was boxing, she won't have none of that, will she? She could dodge the jab.
She's got to go find it.
Yeah.
She didn't want to do this. God told her to do it.
Mm.
Yes.
So you didn't want it?
No.
I didn't want to preach.
No, I didn't want it. I didn't want it at all. Think about it. I mean, to be
honest. Why would you?
Not even that. Like, I'm doing these interviews and it's my training hours. I'm missing money right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yes.
The market closed at 5
o'clock.
I'm
in the market right now. So, yes. No, I did not. I didn't.
Yeah, you got to get up there before 5 Eastern time. That thing closed down.
I mean, New York time. Like, our typical interviews are typically like 10 in the morning. But, like, the prep work and everything that goes into it and everything, it's like 10, 11, sometimes noon. Our interviews, but it's like even before an interview, I'm prepping for the interview. So I'm missing my market hours. I want to be in the market. I want to mind my business. That's where I like to be. I like to be minding my business, making my bag, playing with my kids, being with my husband. But yes, it's an assignment that I know God has called me into. And I appreciate you for speaking into me right now, actually, and the words that you have imparted, because I wasn't able with them, if I'm being honest with myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I felt like, you know what I'm saying? And I would go in the car and drive back, and then I'd call my wife and be like, baby, the Lord told me to say something. I didn't say it. I'm so past that part of my life.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be 45 in July. Like, I guess they say the older you get, the filter start leaving. I just got to say it. You know what I'm saying? I just got to say it. Like, he's been good to me. He's been, oh my God. You know, just thinking about being in my mom's 2-bedroom apartment with 3 daughters and her filling up the bathtub once, and we all had to take a bath in the same water.
Mm.
To be sitting here talking to you.
Yeah.
Man, I wouldn't change nothing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't change nothing. I remember being, you know, I'm looking at this fireplace. I used to have to borrow money because I had a little fireplace in my little house up in Indiana. I used to have to borrow money to buy firewood from the man across the street for $10. He used to wrap it in saran wrap. And that's how I heated my little spot. I needed $10 just to be able to buy wood. And I'm sitting here talking to you about Masters and Disasters, and I'm writing my 4th book. Like, I don't deserve.
What's the name of it? Is it out? I know the book's not out yet, yes, but is the name out yet?
I ain't got a title. I told the publisher what I wanted to do on the title, and they wanted some different options. I do have the substratum of the thought process. The substratum of the thought process is that we are using the same communication to talk to a generation that does not define words the same way we do.
Mm.
And we wonder why there's miscommunication. And so I'm writing a book on showing people how to talk to today's listener.
Mm. Like,
so that's kind of a little rough synopsis of it without giving it up too early.
Yeah.
And then I wrote a book called The Shift, re-released it, and then wrote another one called Lazy Love, which is a slightly religious relationship book using the Bible to reflect relationships.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy. Make sure you put me on that book tour for that.
It is. Oh, I'm coming back for sure. Yeah. Absolutely coming back.
Yeah. So let's talk about a little bit about the book, The Shift, because as you talked about your ACL shifting, I think that God always shifts us into different seasons or whatever the case may be. What do you think is the most dangerous? Do you think is it staying in a place too long or not moving when God tells you to move, or being fearful so you don't never necessarily like start the process?
That's a great question. Which is more detrimental, being fearful and not moving, or staying in the place too long after God says move?
Yeah. Because some people can't differentiate between the fear.
I would say.
Okay.
that staying in the place after God says move is more dangerous than being too afraid to move.
Why?
I feel like there is grace in one and retribution in the other. So
wow.
If I'm afraid to move, I have apprehensions. I feel like there's precedent in the scripture where there's the man in the country of the Gadareans whose name is Legion. They tie him up with fetters and chains. He breaks free, but he never leaves the environment. He never leaves. And I don't know if he's afraid to move or if he's addicted to where he is. But all I see in that scripture is Jesus going to the other side of the river to go get him. This is a man who is either too damaged to move, too afraid to move. I see Jesus leaving the disciples behind and going and getting him. But I also see where the children of Israel are in the wilderness and God is telling them where to go. And they say, no, we want to go back because at least back there we had food and manna. And then here come the 10 plagues. Because if you don't leave when I said leave, I'll turn your water to blood. I'll send gnats. I'll put frogs in the sky. I'll make hail come from out. So to me, it seems like there is grace in being afraid to move forward, although it be because of trauma. But I see retribution when God gives a direct command and you don't pay attention to it. And then he has to come. It's like your mom saying, take the trash out. I'm gonna get to it. And then she comes and sees that it's not there. If she got to come and take that trash out,
it's going to be a whole different story.
You're going to be in the bag. You're going to be in the bag with the trash. So I think that the latter is the more difficult one. I think that staying after God said leave is a decision against God. Not moving because you're afraid is a decision against destiny. I'd rather betray my destiny than God.
Mic drop. That was a mic drop. That was a mic drop. Clip that up. That's a clip. Nah, for real. That's a mic drop. If anybody is in the space right now where they're afraid to take their first step on what God has called them to do, what would you say to them?
Take the first step.
So simple.
So simple because it is like, again, I keep referencing your babies, but one day, the one I seen in the car seat, he gonna be like, just gonna take a step. Just gotta grip. I think that people only change when remaining the same hurts too bad.
That's a mic drop.
So you tired? Take a step. You can't tell me you tired if you won't put one foot in front of the other.
When you get sick and tired,
you get sick and tired of stuff being the same, you will change. People are not taking a step because some people have mitigating circumstances and situations that we're not aware of and privy to. So yeah, for the majority of us, we don't take steps because of fear of rejection or failure. And the truth is, the people who are afraid of rejection and failure are already failing and rejected. So why not? Why not? What's the worst they can do? What's the worst that can happen? You stay the same? What's failure? I think I heard it this way. The true definition of failure is the ability to begin again with increased intelligence. That's all failure is. I get to start over and no more. I ain't afraid.
That's good.
Just take a step.
Well, have you ever been afraid to take the step though? Like in your life, how did you get over that? What was the situation? What were you scared of?
Staying the same. Just staying the same. Like right now, I'm in it. And this is the thing for your listeners. This stuff don't go away. You don't reach a utopia of a place where things become easy. They get harder. Your mistakes become more expensive. They become more costly. Right now in Houston, I got a building to build because of a hurricane that happened to our building. This is going to cost us in the mid eight figures. Like this is the move to this point of my life. This is the move. It's going to cost. And I'm not talking about 10.
Yeah, well over.
This is the one. And I got to go forward in an economy that don't always look.
Come on. Inflation is super high right now. Them building materials is going to be high.
It already is higher now than it was when I made the decision to do it 6 months ago.
And it's only going to get higher.
The price of gas has increased my concrete costs.
Mm.
I mean, this is like
transportation. Oh
God, Jessica, you have an idea. I'll say you have no, yeah, you of know. Course.
Yes.
And yet I'm still doing it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I will do it. The next time I come to you,
yeah,
here, I will tell you, oh, it's half done.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. But yeah, I'll be transparent with you. 6 months ago, I was ready to give up.
Wow.
I was like, I told my wife, I said, baby, maybe it's time for me to retire.
No.
I did. I was frustrated. I didn't have the strength to put one foot in front of the other. I was like, I'll just retire. Let somebody else do it. Maybe it's somebody else's season and I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go do something else. I'll still preach. I'm not giving up on God, but this day to day assignment. And it's like, man, I'm done. And she said to me, she was like, you talking crazy. Like, I ain't never heard you. She's like, what's wrong with you? Like, I'm looking for her to be like, oh, it's okay, baby. We're going to get through it together and all that. She's like, what's wrong with you?
She thought she was going through a midlife crisis.
Maybe I was. Maybe I was.
Wow.
I was like, I'm done. It's like, I'm in a stock market like you.
Really?
Yeah. I bought a 1,000 shares of DRAM 2 weeks ago. It's up. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's up. I know you can't say nothing. We ain't telling you what to get. Let me just say right now, we're not giving insider trading no advice on it, but I'm just speaking on what I did.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'll just go harder than that. You know, and
because you ain't got to worry about people. That's the best thing I love about the market. Okay, you make your own money. It is just you. You ain't got to worry about no sales. You don't got to worry about no people. You don't got to worry about people's opinions. Nothing.
It's your
you and your mind.
My mind.
Your mind. Yeah. Have an internet. Yeah. That's it.
So, yeah, I just was like, we'll just lean harder in that. But it ain't my purpose.
Yeah.
That ain't my purpose.
Yeah.
I snapped out of it. Got myself together. Wiped away my own tears, got off my little pity party, my little sympathy session, feeling sorry for myself, and I'm going to do it. I got my second win. So, you know, it's called putting one foot in front of the other, and you got to do that over and over again. That's called walking. Anything else is just a step. Walking is doing it over and over and over and over again. And running is doing that at a quicker pace.
Yeah.
So you just... You know, I really, you didn't even ask me this. I just read this. I be reading all kind of weird stuff.
Yeah.
I read something said, the difference between walking and running. Have you ever thought about what the difference is?
No.
I thought it was
move
speed.
Faster.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
The difference between walking and running is when you're walking, one foot is always on the ground. When you're running, there's a split second where you have neither on the ground.
Wow.
So... The difference between somebody who's walking towards destiny and somebody who's like running after it is the amount of time they spend with their feet on the ground.
Wow.
So he's afraid of failure because that's where he came from. So he's trying to outrun the thing.
Well, I'll be afraid of fail because I tell you, I jump.
I'm not saying in that regard. I'm saying
that's my advantage. I can only go back to where I came from.
Yeah. So then the drive is not to go back. That's not when I say afraid of failure, the drive is to not be one again. But what I'm saying on this is this. Yeah. Let's take the Bible, for instance. The question is, are we supposed to work or are we supposed to be still? The answer is both. On the first day, he said, let there be light. And there was. Then he said, water. Then he said, fish, fowl. And on the seventh day, he rested. Because rest is the period in between beginning again. But if you never rest in between beginnings, you have a lot of starts. Rest puts an end to it. So I would say both. I say, fill your plate with as many things as you can. Dream as big as you can and do as much as you can. And in the process, make sure that a part of the work is people and not project. So the way I get away from the work is I actually make my wife, my kids, my family, the job for that specific season while I don't do the other things. They're on the plate too. So it's like a person who juggles. People like you will never, ever be able to hold one thing for too long. So you just got to make sure that everything you do, you touch periodically so that it knows that you're there. Right? Because the moment, if I got three glass balls in my hand and I'm juggling all three of them, what's going to happen if I hold two?
Yeah.
One drops. And then the one that drops says, well, why did you drop me? What was it about the other two that made them worthy of you holding them and not me? Was this circumstantial? Was this intentional? So you just got to make sure you touch everything and then rest, because you're human. You're a human being. You have a lifespan. You have cholesterol. You have, you know, you have, nerves, and, you know, so you have to attend to those things that you need to sustain you. Otherwise, you'll work yourself to a place where your body won't even be able to enjoy the things that you went after.
Yeah. In so many words, does busyness sometimes become a shield to avoid or to kind of shield us from the stillness for when God wants to speak?
It can be. I wouldn't be presumptuous enough to say why it is for anybody else. It could be.
Yeah, of course.
It could be the reason why. Again, it could be in your husband's case. I think that coming from where he came from, it puts a drive in folks like us to make sure that we get as far away from that as possible. And so, like, I use the term afraid of failure. But see, once you get to a certain place, failure isn't costly. Because he can fail at two things, but he got seven things working. For some people, they got one thing, they fail at that, that's it. So he's built a life where failure is both possible and acceptable.
Yeah.
As a way of getting to the next yes.
Yeah. So earlier when you were talking about the project that you're working on and you told your wife that you were kind of tired sometimes, what happens when it's the differentiation between stubbornness and the endurance?
I think I probably was battling both at the time. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, if I think about it, I think I was both lacking a little endurance and a little stubbornness. And the stubbornness is because I'm like, man, why ain't this happening when, where, and how I want it to happen?
Yeah.
Like, I want this now.
Yeah.
God, where are you? So, because don't we sometimes try to get God to validate our plans?
Yeah.
And I'm human, so I'm like, God, and it's been 2 years. It'll be 2 years in July. Like, what's up? I thought by now, and I'm fighting with the insurance company. So anybody who ever fought with the insurance company.
Yeah.
That's a bad.
Because the insurance company, it's crazy how much money you pay an insurance company and they just don't want to give you nothing. They try to take the cheapest way out.
That's what I meant. So now, but let me tell you how God works. Now, this is the endurance. The Bible says, let faith have its perfect work, endurance, that you may be entire, wanting nothing. James 1 and 2, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations.
Come on.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be entire, wanting nothing. Now, let's get to around verse 12, where it says, I will give you the crown of life. That word crown is a Greek word, stephanos. It means to get a public badge for private pain. So we're always in between the public prosperity and the private pain, right? And that's where endurance and stubbornness lives, in between the wheat and the tare, between the beginning and the end, between Alpha and Omega, between that. So in between time is difficult. Anybody who's on the airplane right now watching this, the most uncomfortable seat on that whole thing is the one that's in between the person with the window and the aisle. Cause you're pressed from both sides. So I was in that, and I think I was part stubborn. I was part frustrated, part angry, maybe partly embarrassed. It's a lot of emotions that I felt in between, but you know, he who has begun a good work in you will establish it. So I do rehearse these things to myself. The scripture says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. So I got enough in me so that when I start letting myself down, okay, I can go rely on this.
Out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes, ma'am. So I can go back and rely on it. If I don't have it in me.
And that's the most important part, yo.
Yeah.
That's the most important part. It's crazy. Sidebar, but I was talking to one of my friends and I'm just like, I don't understand how people are unbelievers, because what sustains you? What sustains you when you go through? Because I don't know what I'd do if I ain't have my quiet time with God, because the weight of some things are just so heavy that it's like, that's the only place of peace that I have.
Yeah. I say to people who, I said this to a friend of mine the other day, he's a great friend of mine, and he's a non-believer. But I told him, I said, I ain't leaving him until he confesses Christ.
Yeah.
So that's my whole point in his life. I told him that. And he's like, yeah, you're going to have your work cut out for him. Like, I've been doing this for 30 years. I'm true to this guy. I'm going to get you. So we going back and forth. He says, so what makes you believe? I told him, I said, you know what? Here's a statement I'm going to give you that my father gave me. He said, if the world ends.
Yeah.
And God is not real. Then we all die, nothing happens. But if he is.
Okay.
So he says, I'd rather have God and not need him than to need him and not have him.
Come on.
To me, that's like the dopest line ever. Okay. If he ain't real, don't nobody lose nothing. But if he is, you got something to lose, dog.
Facts. Look, so back on a purpose tip, and then we're going to end this soon, but I do have this question. When people shift from their busyness into their purpose, right? How do we get to a level to where we don't self-sabotage once we reach that next level? How do we sustain it?
You ask great questions. I think that you have to always be aware of the reason you were seeking purpose. Because if it's selfish, yeah, you're going to self-sabotage because you will be disappointed in anything that you achieve, because anything you will achieve will always show you that was not everything you expected. It will always. You can go to the best hotel in the world, but you will find something they should have done better. You can find the church that you love, but you'll be like, I like the preaching. I like the singing. That's, new church is all right. It's always going to be something. It's always going to be something.
Yeah.
You can get a Rolls Royce right now. Person can have a Rolls Royce. On the outside, you got the spirit of ecstasy. It looks nice. And you get in there and find out, man, Rolls Royce's radio digital display system is almost non-existent compared to some cars that you got touch screens and you can do all this stuff. Rolls Royce got a little small screen. I've been in a couple with a couple of friends who got them, and I sit in there and I'm like, man, boy, the seats are great and the carpet is fine, but man, that console is whack.
Listen,
it's like,
that's how I feel about the Bentleys. The technology in a Bentley sucks, so, but that Rolls Royce, that shit, skin, on your toes.
Yeah. I rode in a couple of friends. You can't get a ride like it.
Yeah.
But nothing has everything.
Yeah.
Nothing has everything. So you will realize that everything is missing something.
Yeah.
So it's like, you go after the purpose and you don't forget why you went after it. Make the why bigger than the you.
Yeah.
For my kids, for my God, for my church, for my future, for my family, the why has to be bigger than you. If the you is bigger than the why, then you'll be disappointed. And that's when you get there and you will regret all of the work that you put in, because the self always wants more. The self always wants more. The self always needs more. Anything you do for your body, you have to repeat. You got to brush your teeth every day. You got to take a shower every day. The body's never satisfied. Yeah. You got to eat all the time. Anything you do for the flesh, it needs to be repeated almost immediately after you just finished it. Yeah. Comb your hair, you got to comb it again.
Yeah.
Right? So it's got to be the why. W-H-Y. Yeah. Has to be bigger than the why. You.
I'm going to ask you a personal question. Mm-hmm. Based on that, let's just say you did. Oh, thank God you're not mm-hmm. retiring. But let's just say everything you did, you stopped today. And all you had was your mandate. Do you feel like you would have had everything to sustain your joy?
At this point?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
No.
No, I got to keep.
Because you got unfinished business.
I'm going to invite business. Y'all to our podcast when you write that book. I got unfinished business. Ain't no way.
Yeah.
That was feelings, emotions. That was flesh, human,
yeah.
Small thinking, young boy, used to be crybaby Keon. Like, that was the weakest part of me that revealed himself for a moment to remind me that he's still there.
And
you still got to do the work. Because no matter how much work you've done, you've not gotten completely away from this person who can talk you out of your destiny and dreams.
Mm. And everybody has that person inside of them.
Ain't going nowhere.
But that's the person that you got to, if you waking up in the morning to work out, you got to silence that voice in your head. So
that's
you
who says, keep going. Me ain't going.
That's that person. I would tell you what my husband calls that little person, but
you can tell me afterwards, but I want to know what you call
it. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's that person.
Great. That's great. That's that person.
That's that person.
Yes. That's the person who,
inside of us.
When you want to, you know, when you get in an argument with your spouse and you know you should be like, baby, you know what? I'm sorry. That person said, nope, hold on 2-3 more days. That's him. That's her. The person who, you know, makes you make the wrong decision and choice. So I know that he's there,
mm-hmm.
right? It's literally the childish side of me who's trying to mess up the destiny of the adult side of me.
Mm.
And then here's what Paul says. There was a thorn in my flesh.
Mm. Come on.
To buffet me.
Come on.
As a messenger of Satan, lest I be exalted above measure. So the reason why God doesn't totally exonerate us from the boy is because he keeps the man in check. That's why the little girl is still inside
of
you.
Good.
To keep the woman on her toes.
That's so good.
And they never die.
That's so good. And that person, sometimes that voice be so loud. You know what I'm saying? Overcoming is really the work. That is the true work. That's the true work of getting to that next level, is like overcoming your inner self.
Hmm. Absolutely. You go to a park right now, take the kids to the park. 15, 20 kids up there playing. Are you going to hear a bunch? Because kids are loud. We get quieter as we get older. So the noise that we hear is the infant, adolescent part of us. And they trying to be in control, trying to take over. Frontal cortex hasn't even developed enough to have the ability to make decisions for us. But it's there as a messenger of Satan, lest we be exalted above measure. It's designed to keep us humble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last question. Because I had a conversation with my sister, and as we were talking, it's been in my mind, and I don't want to finish the interview and wish that I asked it, but it is going to go back a little bit into purpose real quick. Let's say there's somebody, because I have this, I don't want to say knowing, but I truly believe that if you got somebody that has to worry about money every single day, you never really fully walk into your purpose, because there are so many people that are merely existing and surviving, right? You got to go to work, right? You go to work, then you got your kids, and then you have very small time to really, when you say identify who you are, you got a very small window to truly identify who you are. Now, granted, sometimes if we're lucky, that's identified in the footsteps of our purpose. And we're, as you said, money can become a byproduct of that. Mm-hmm. But there are some people in their 40s and 50s and 60s that could be listening to this right now and had the realization of us talking.
Yeah.
Like, yo, I've really just been surviving. I've never walked a day in my purpose. Mm-hmm. What would you say to that person?
I would say to them that they have real life examples of that it's never too late to start. Like, I don't know the exact numbers, but I do know that Morgan Freeman was probably in his 50s before he was in his first movie. I do know that Warren Buffett was an older man before he became a billionaire. I think that Joel Osteen was like 45, almost 50 years old before he wrote his first book. Like, you start when you start.
Yeah.
It's never too late. Like, if you think that because you didn't start when you didn't start, you'll never start. Like, it's okay. You didn't start at 20. You didn't start at 30. But what if God does more between 55 and 62 for you?
Yeah.
Than he did for somebody between 21. You know how many, childhood actors?
Yes.
They do, and you don't hear nothing about them?
Ever again.
Ever again?
Yeah.
Some get in the beginning, some get in the end. I just want people to be comfortable about the season that was predestined for them. And stop trying to make your season align with somebody you admired.
Yeah.
Use it as fuel, not as carbon. I don't have to copy it. It's fuel for me to become an original. I've been preaching since 14. Jessica, I didn't even have health insurance until I was almost 30. I don't have no great story to tell people about. Oh, by the time I was 20, yeah, I was pastoring at 21, but my salary was $250 a month. Mm. I remember when I thought I was balling, I bought me a Chrysler 300.
Mm.
What? That's what they told me. It's like, it's a fake Bentley. It looked like a Bentley until Cat Williams said, yeah, that's till a Bentley pull up, right? I had a black one. Then they had a C model called a Touring. I thought I was killing it.
Yeah.
And then I upgraded to that one. And then when your boy thought he was really killing, I bought me a Mercedes-Benz E350, a white one with a cognac interior. You couldn't tell me nothing. Struggling to pay $750 trying to impress people who didn't like me anyway.
Yeah.
The car note was $750. I was struggling every month to pay that car note. I had a townhouse. I bought it. It was $86,000. This was in the early 2000s. My mortgage was $586. So here I am. I finally started making $1,000 from the church, and my car note is $750, and my mortgage is $586. You do the math.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just got to the place in the last few years where I can go to the grocery store and not have to figure out if I had enough when I was in there.
Wow.
That's okay, because that's my story. I wasn't rich when I was 21, and I didn't own real estate when I was 25. That ain't my story.
Yeah.
My story is as it came when it came. I got what I got. I'm doing what I'm doing. I ain't nearly where I want to be, but I'm a long way from where I used to be, and that's okay.
Amen.
I ain't got more than this person. That's fine. I got what I got. You know what I mean? It is what it is. It's cool. I'm happy. I'm peaceful. I have joy. I'm here with y'all. My family's healthy. The church is doing good. I love God. He loved me. What else could a man want? I'm rich in that regard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. For sure. All right. So we're going to close it on out. But before I close out, I honestly want to do this. I actually have never asked somebody to do this on the platform, but I do feel as though the conversation is so important because it could get somebody out of a season that they're in, or it can spark a seed in somebody to really catapult to whatever God is calling them to be or whatever God is calling them to do. So do you mind praying us on purpose, praying us out on purpose.
I will absolutely be honored to do that. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
You going to pray right now?
Yeah, let's pray.
Spirit of the living God, we thank you today for waking us up this morning. Thank you for starting us out on our way. Thank you that individually we all have a purpose, and that purpose is supported by the full weight and the power of heaven. Thank you, God, that you've created us all as individuals. Thank you that you love us even though we are still sinners. And thank you that you have prevented any weapon that is formed against us from prospering if we faint not. I pray, God, that every person under the sound of my voice, whether they are watching visually or listening audibly, that you would stir up the gift that is inside of them. Allow them to walk right face to face, dead on to their purpose. Let there be no schisms or chasms or second guessing or questions about this being the thing that you created them to be. God, be very, very clear to them. So obvious that confusion is irrelevant. Allow it to come from several sources, written sources, speaking sources, verbal sources, audible sources, sources that they read, magazines, books. Just let them be bombarded with arrows that are directing them into the area that you have created them for. I pray for protection. I pray for sustaining power. And I pray, God, that you would do this exceedingly and abundantly above all they could ever ask or think. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being here.
Nah, thank you.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
Much.
Thank you.
Is there anything, before we close out, is there anything that you're working on? I know you said you're working on your fourth book, but is there anything else you want to leave with the listeners that you're currently working on, doing, whatever the case may be?
Yeah, we have this thing called NYT. It's called Not Your Typical. And we've been touring all over the nation. And here's a crazy thing. We've been Charlotte, Chicago, Los Angeles. We're headed to New York next couple weeks. We've just been taking the gospel to different cities. It's a full-on-fledged production. We bring our whole team from Houston with us, and we charge no one.
Wow.
And people are getting to come in, and we've had a couple hundred people give their life to Christ in this process. So if you see it, just click a QR code. Website is notyourtypical.org. Sign up if we're in the city. It's free of charge. You just come. We have a good time. We bring in artists. We bring in experience. I give a word, and we pray for people to go home. But that's really something that we're excited about.
Wow, absolutely. NotYourTypical.com. Make sure you guys go to the website, Pastor.
.org. Yep.
I'm sorry.
It's
NotYourTypical.org.
Yes,
NotYourTypical.org. Thank you so much, Pastor Kieran.
Yeah, I appreciate
Make sure you.
You
guys go to the website, check it out, share it with somebody, even if it's not for you, even if you're saved and all the things, make sure you spread the gospel so that somebody else can be saved. Okay. I want to thank everybody for listening in. Like, subscribe, share the video, and as always, stay initiated.